This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Brian Fernandez and Khoo Soo Chuan, the top business stories for the day. Let's start with what looks like a flurry of mergers and acquisitions, or M&As, that have been happening in recent months in Bursa. Over the last 2 months, StarBiz reported that more than 10 listed companies have been target for takeover attempts, mostly by companies by the company's existing major owners. One of them is Hovid, recently made headlines with its controlling shareholder, David Ho, announcing a voluntary takeover of some 38 cent per share and 20 cent per warrant to buy all the shares not owned by them in the pharmaceutical company.
Yeah, this is a company that has been on the grill a couple of times in the last few years. David Ho, the managing director, has been here. And, you know, he was basically talking up a couple of the discoveries they've been doing in their labs and so on. And so they've been actually quite profitable for the last five years until 2017, when they fell to a 1.5 million ringgit loss, basically because of the suspension of two of their manufacturing licenses. I think compliance issues were blamed in January. And that's led to them, you know, having a first loss in 5 years. And all of which has precipitated a drop in their share price. And it's led David Ho to seek out some investors to help him purchase basically the shares that he doesn't already own in the business. And there's a privatization offer.
Yeah, so is this a case of the shareholder realizing there's a lot of upside into the share? And basically, as the entrepreneur running the business, he realizes, hey, this is a good time to take my company private on the cheap and then later potentially relist it.
Maybe, because they have a new plant coming on stream later this year, none of which, you know, the earnings of which have not flowed into the current accounts because it's not happened, that output has not happened. So, you know, basically, what minority shareholders have got to reflect on at this point in time is, do you take the bird in the hand, or do you wait for the two in the bush to fly out and for you to capture?
Yeah, and on a PE ratio, forward PE, 12 months, it's trading at 21 times essentially, which is slightly higher than its peers. So it'd be interesting to see, as you mentioned, how minority shareholders are going to respond to this, given the potential upside and recovery in the business as the manufacturing lines come back on stream.
Also, because we noted that this is just one of a flurry of takeovers that we're seeing, especially in the small and mid-cap section. Is there a pattern? Is this something that we can extrapolate from about the business environment, for instance?
Well, you know, earlier Joyce Goh was on air with us, and she had a quick look at Bursa's website, and she noticed that, you know, 5 years ago or 6 years ago, there was around about 1,000 listed companies, so about 990 listed companies in Malaysia. And as at the end of last year, that number had dropped to just over 900. So we've lost more listed companies that have come on stream in the last few years. And it's a trend that has really been happening in Malaysia. You know, we've lost some of the more junior listings to other junior exchanges around the world, whether it's the AIMS in the UK, or whether it's the GEMS in Hong Kong, or whether it's some of the, you know, the growth markets in Singapore. And I guess it's something that the regulators and the market makers in Malaysia have got to grapple with, because is it a case of us losing our competitiveness in terms of attracting high growth junior companies?
No, it's also one of the things, if you remember in the 90s, every auntie and uncle was basically in the market, and retail investment in the KLSE was very, very high. Today, that number has fallen dramatically. And so a lot of these small cap companies, I suppose, struggle to find adequate liquidity, and therefore the sometimes trade as a valuation that's probably discounted to what their true value is. The other trend potentially that's fueling this privatization and M&A exercises is the cost of borrowing. So the cost of borrowing relatively is fairly low. So if the entrepreneur thinks that he or she can take the company private and then relist it later on, hey, Bob's your uncle. You're gonna go ahead and take advantage of the cheap money.
Isn't it also true, Chuang, that that, you know, when analysts look at the KL Stock Exchange, they see it as, what is the expression, underweight or overweight? Or underweight, isn't it? They basically feel that there's more potential for investments in the KL. It's just not happening.
Well, that's a question for the fund managers to answer. But what I do know is in 1993, Malaysia, well, the KLSE at the time, had a global, or rather had an ASEAN, ex-Japan emerging market weightage of about 6.5% of the MSCI. Today, that weightage has dropped to, what, 1.5%, 2%. So Malaysia is getting less important in the region than it used to be 23, 24 years ago. In answer to your question, Brian, I don't, it's probably a variety of factors. It's, you know, low financing costs. It is also the fact that they do know what's going on. And, for example, in the case of Hovid, David Ho knows exactly, you know, the potential of his business much more than any other minority shareholder out there. So for him to say, hey, right now it's trading so cheap, I might as well take it off the exchange. You know, me and my partner, Fajar Astoria, I think, we'll take it private for about 243 million ringgit, and then we'll do some magic behind the scenes, and then we'll relist it in future, maybe.
But interesting, there are also companies like Dataprat Holding and Go Banhuat who saw their major shareholders selling stakes in the company and exiting the business. In fact, some of these, for example, were below the current market prices. For example, the KUB deal. So what's your take on that, Zhuang?
Well, I don't know. You have to ask the companies themselves. But, you know, the trend is intact. Johan Holdings, Hovid, Willow Glen, Yilai, Wang Zheng, Go Banhuat, Dataprep, they've all seen offers to take out their stock. And whether it's not, whether or not it's also a case of business conditions deteriorating or getting more difficult, or whether it's because they see better opportunities elsewhere in other asset classes, who knows, right? But it's something that I'm sure the regulators are looking at.
Okay, also in the news, Scientex, it's a company that's doing very well. And what do we have on them?
Well, we chose Scientex because it's an example of a manufacturing business that is also diversified in the property. And it's, again, another thematic snapshot, because what we have from the Edge Weekly is an observation that garment makers are facing low-cost competition from the Chinese and Indian makers, have been forced to diversify their businesses away and to look for new asset or to look for new growth sectors. And they've gone and looked at property development of all things. So, I mean, you know, why didn't they put their money and their capital into things like big data, Internet of Things, you know, robotics, or one of these new areas that potentially they could conquer the world with? Instead, they went into property development.
But Chuang, that's as we've said before many times on the show, it's really about the low-lying fruit from property development. It's easy to get into, relatively easy to get into. It's a fairly stable business. There is demand there. And the profit margins are quite lucrative. So that's perhaps a way that they see to repair some of the balance sheets, perhaps some losses from the past.
Well, just have a deeper look at Scientex, Prahad. It's a plastic manufacturer that's been excelling with Arizona-based stretch film business. And so what is it that they're doing very well? What is this stretch film business all about?
Well, you know how when you go to airports, you can basically wrap your baggage in, you know, this
I quite never use it. You know, but yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, right? It's quite formidable.
It's like glad wrap, but
correct,
like a huge
but
machine.
Industrial strength. So basically, Scientex have got four different manufacturing streams. They do industrial packaging, they do consumer packaging, they do automotive interiors, for example. They do headlines, ceiling head linings. They do the seat covers. They've also got green technology. But what they've also got, other than the manufacturing dollar-based income, they've also got a domestic property segment, which contributes something like 33% of top-line revenue. And they haven't gone into the Klang Valleys or the KLs of this world. They haven't gone into Johor and Penangs of this world.
They're in Johor.
Yeah, correct. Sorry, what I meant to say is not JB, but specifically the smaller Tier 2 secondary areas like the Skudais.
Yes,
and
Kulai.
The Rawangs and the Kulais of this world. Which is quite strategic, you see.
Because it's affordable housing.
But it's got affordable housing. So the point I'm trying to make is, if you're going to diversify the property, there is still some pocket of growth, but you've got to make it quite strategic. And it's in these low, you know, lower cost land banking areas that they have been making a fist of it in.
But what's interesting also is their investment in the US, for example, in their first stretch film plant in Arizona, that they invested $25 million. And that should start to flow into their earnings and particularly give them a boost. And one of the reasons for doing that was, it was quite strategic. They found that the factor inputs in terms of shale gas was going to have a substantial reduction in terms of their costs.
Exactly. So that's another thing that I think they did quite right. And I think you've got to take my hats off to them, because they've got these two very strong growth engines. You know, they're basically turbocharged, because you've got the manufacturing, which is dollar-based and is lower cost input. You've got the property sector, which is obviously quite stable and quite predictable. And, you know, the whole issue of everybody wants to have a home, and you've got a policy-driven perspective from the government that, you know, they're liberalizing the sector to allow and to introduce measures for first-time home buyers.
You know, just some numbers on the total land bank. It has a gross development value of some 11 billion ringgit. Completed projects with some 3.2 billion ringgit GDV. Also ongoing projects worth 1.5 billion ringgit. And a remaining 6.3 billion ringgit worth of land, which they hope to use for future projects, which can last the group up to 10 years. So those are, I mean, at least from a kind of a novice point of view, looks pretty good.
Yeah, and also they launched, hear this, 16 new projects in 2017 financial year, totaling about 616 million in GDV, mainly again mainly in Johor, of course, but also a maiden project in Ipoh. Now, unbilled sales amounted to something in the region of half a billion as of 31st July this year, to be recognized over the next 2 years.
So, yeah, from a shareholder perspective, when you look at it, the share price of Scientex from 2014, they used to trade at about $2.80, $2.70, and now they're trading at about $9 a share. So they've done really well for shareholders.
Yeah, from a manufacturing side, according to the managing director, they are looking in the next three or four years, invest probably 1 billion ringgit to expand capacity to produce in their stretch films business as well. So, you know, it looks like it's going to be good times for Scientex moving forward.
Just one more point I'd like to make as well, because a lot of these garment makers might have been diversifying out, including plastic manufacturers like Scientex, but there are some companies like, for example, Magnetek, right? Magnetek is a company that I hold dear to my heart because they're from Penang. They used to be known as South Island Garments, I think. And they still focus specifically on garments, and their main project, their main client is Nike, and they make a lot of garments for Nike. And they have stayed focused. They have stayed, you know, laser-like on this business. And they've gone from $1 per share in some years ago to around about $7 per share. So they've done really well for shareholders as well. So this doesn't matter what you do, as long as you do it right.
Okay, with those wise words, sorry, we're taking up all the way to 9 o'clock with the bulletin. We'll be back with the opening numbers of the stock market. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.